This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's go to the guest hotline right now. Welcome onto the show, Mike Golic Jr. of DraftKings. Very, very excited to talk football with him going into Week 10. Mike, you're on in D.C., home of the first place and still defending division leader Washington Commanders at 7-2. We can't believe what's happening here. What's your take from the outside in on these Commanders?
Yeah, it's been that kind of season where I think for so many of us nationally looking at and trying to prognosticate this upcoming season, we were looking around going, all right, who has the ingredients to do the Texans thing? We all seem to like the Texans thing. C.J. Stroud comes in and balls. D'Amico Ryan is the hot young coach that everyone's trying to get their hands on. And they come together and vibe check an entire organization back into relevance. And everyone was looking at Chicago and going, all right, well, Matt Eberflus isn't new, but you know, he's getting a new lease on life, and Caleb Williams, someone we really like here. There's too much wrong in Washington. We won't ignore that they meet all the criteria of new defensive head coach, now albeit one getting his second crack, and young, very talented quarterback that people like, and the second quarterback off the board in his respective draft, much like CJ was. So it's been fun watching it come together, and I think the most enjoyable part has clearly been how much buy-in Dan Quinn has gotten. His second time around here, a guy that seemed beloved by the defensive players in Dallas, now seemingly getting the whole team and an entire organization coming off of what you guys know, one of the worst eras in football in terms of ownership and the effect it had on an organization. It's been great to see the Commanders fun, relevant, easy to root for, all things that were hard to say before.
Where do you have them in the NFC, Mike?
I think in the NFC, it's really the race now between them and Philadelphia. Everyone else has sort of been, you know, dead and gone and off to the side. I think top end for the NFC is really hard to legislate right now, just because the teams that we expected to dominate that conversation, you know, and the 49ers have certainly fallen back to the pack a little bit there. The NFC South in a little bit of disarray. We know the NFC North, the Detroit Lions feel like the surest stock at this point, and Minnesota got off to such a hot start. Maybe Sam Darnold leveling off a little bit now. So I would say the NFC hierarchy for me is, hey, I put the Detroit Lions number one above everybody else right now. I think they've earned that right. I think after that, hey, San Francisco, if they get Christian McCaffrey back healthy and those things start to load up, I'm confident in betting on the pedigree, experience, and continuity of that team over most others. And then when you get into, you know, the Rams, the Minnesota Vikings, the Philadelphia Eagles, and the Commanders, I think everybody in that tier, a lot of it's going to be dependent on who's healthiest down the stretch, which we know is kind of the baseline for everybody else. But, you know, being able to bet on a rookie quarterback preparing these guys for a true postseason run is something that's still a bridge too far for some, but I think Jaden and this coaching staff have earned the right to be in this conversation.
What's your take on Jaden Daniels and whether or not it's too early to say he is the rookie of the year, like he's going to win the award definitively? Also about him as an MVP candidate?
Him as an MVP candidate, probably a bridge too far at this point. I think, you know, Lamar Jackson is a two-time MVP who's blowing his own MVP numbers out of the water on the best offense in football right now. Josh Allen, you know, Patrick Mahomes doing less with more. And, you know, for Jaden, some of it's, you know, the gaudy passing stats aren't going to be there just yet in terms of, like, touchdown production. But, you know, I won't let that stop us from watching what we've seen and it having an impact. But offensive rookie of the year, that one I'm comfortable saying, it would take a Herculean effort at this point for someone to pry that out of his hands. Now, I would say as we handicap the offensive rookie of the year race, Brock Bowers not getting nearly enough love for going and doing what he's doing on a team that has nothing else to get excited about offensively. But I think Jaden Daniels has that one pretty firmly sewed up.
Mike Golic Jr. with us here on G&D. So just in terms of, I would love for you to quantify what we're actually seeing. Like, we know he's been incredible, and it's that high floor. Like, there haven't been any of those, well, that's a rookie doing rookie-type things, you know, whether it's the five-interception game or a bunch of fumbles or putting the ball in harm's way or forcing things. It just seems to have been so easy for him, and I know it's not that easy. Try to quantify this for us. What are we seeing in terms of where he fits historically among rookie quarterbacks?
Yeah, I think, like, obviously, I don't think passing numbers wise he's going to hit, like, you know, what we saw from, you know, like prime Andrew Luck or Cam Newton or even CJ Stroud in the passing totals from last year. But I do think looking at him, the area that to me is one of the big ones, and this is not to discredit the group I'm about to mention, the offensive line has outperformed my expectations this year, taking, you know, the guys that were former Chiefs backups and rotation players, bringing Tyler Biadasz over from Dallas, a guy that Dan Quinn knew really well, who's kind of helped set the foundation for that group. And having a veteran like that with a rookie quarterback goes a long way at the center spot, where that's a brain trust that kind of works in tandem before most plays. But you look, I think they're what, like second or third in the NFL in yards before contact per rush, which is usually two parts. It's an offensive line stat. How well is that group blocking, making sure that running backs aren't getting hit and touched until a couple of yards down the field. But in my mind, that's also a mobile quarterback stat. You see the teams they're up there with are the Philadelphia Eagles, the, you know, aforementioned Baltimore Ravens. And so having him there and what he's meant to that rushing attack and how potent he's been in that aspect of the game, I think goes a long way, along with the backfield they've got, you know, bringing Austin Ekeler over, Brian Robinson, and what he's meant to that team. I think that's one of those areas where you've seen a real tangible impact that's made this team a real threat.
I want to dig a little deeper into the Marshon Lattimore trade. We've talked a lot about what it does at corner, which was their weakest position. But what we got into yesterday, kind of as a second level, is maybe you play more man. You don't have to play as much too high. Maybe you bring Jeremy Chinn down in the box. And even though they didn't add the D tackle that might have helped stop the run, a big, you know, road grading type, you know, smart car that has to be moved, maybe he does inadvertently help against the run as well. I mean, what's your thought on that?
Yeah, and no, to your point, and I don't know how many moves there were out there necessarily on the defensive front that were going to be realistic. And so Marshon Lattimore, when you look at the trade deadline, of the players that were going to be available from a team like New Orleans that was going to be selling, it's about as good as you could have hoped for, a guy that's still got a lot of real good ball left in him, most people think. And so, yeah, I think one of the ways to remedy the run defense problem can be, hey, let's just change the math problem there. If we can't personnel through this thing until the offseason, why don't we try and at least just add numbers to the box? So I think you're absolutely right. And as he gets up to speed, listen, coming in and fitting in what Dan Quinn wants to do defensively, I'm not going to say that there's not intricacies, but especially if one of your goals is play a little bit more man coverage, that's sort of the universal solvent and something that everyone can kind of understand. Hey, go check the good guys so that we can throw more run defenders in.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
What's a successful year for Washington? I mean, because they've already gone past their win total. I mean, they were at 6.5 in a lot of books for the year. So this is kind of uncharted territory for us. But now that they're here, what should we, you know, at the end of it all, I mean, obviously winning the Super Bowl would be great, but what's kind of the minimum we'd go, you know what, that was still pretty damn good?
I mean, God, at this point, I would say you're already there. Like,
right.
The rest of it is really gravy at this point. But I said a while back, and now some of this has changed because as the Eagles got A.J. Brown back and Devontae Smith back on the field and what Saquon Barkley's done since he's come over there, combined with some of their rookies coming on. I mean, Quinyon Mitchell, Cooper DeJean in the secondary have started to look awesome as of late. And so I think it's going to be a real dogfight for who ends up winning that division. But I said it a few weeks ago talking to Dad on the show, we've arrived at the point now, based on the conversation, again, the Commanders have earned their way into with their play, where it could be looked at as a disappointment if you don't go out and win the division this year with the way things have shook out. That's how well they've played. And I say all that, even if they go and somehow Philadelphia and the weight of all that talent ends up going and getting the job done and they win the division there. Yeah, it might be a bit of a missed opportunity, but man, if you're Washington already, coming in this year, finding your quarterback of the future, seeing the foundation set the way they've done it in year one, you feel like this is the beginning of a lot more. And now, hey, look only as far as Houston to see. It doesn't always work like that. Success and progress aren't always linear in this league because the looming specter of injury, you got to continue to evolve year to year. But again, finding the quarterback's the hardest thing to do, and you guys have done it.
Mike Golic Jr. with us on Grant and Danny. I want to go back to the conference combo we were having earlier in the discussion, because I'm with you on Detroit. I think they're head and shoulders better, and we've kind of said Washington could be the second best team. What does that second tier look like with Washington, though? And you mentioned a couple of these teams in passing, but Atlanta seems to be trending up. Offensively, they're getting better and better. I just don't trust their defense. They're 6-3 in a bad division. They'll probably win the South. But Philly, who may well still win the East, you know, Green Bay's got an interception problem, but Jordan Love, when he's not throwing picks, makes ridiculous throws and is as good as there is otherwise. The Bears are a tough customer. Washington just played them. Like, what do you make of the rest of the NFC right now?
I think a lot of the teams you just mentioned, the NFC South is interesting to me because, man, Tampa just refuses to die. Like, that's a team that very could have easily beaten undefeated two-time defending Super Bowl champions on the back of basically just Baker Mayfield and the Pips on offense. So I do think that's a team I won't count out in the South, but I'm with you. Not trusting the Falcons generally tends to be good business, even when it feels like it's going in the right direction. But I think aside from that, you look at the NFC North, that's a three-team division that looks like it could be playoff teams. Outside of, you know, Detroit, they're in the Super Bowl weight class. They're vying for something bigger than that. But Minnesota is a team that if they can weaponize enough good Sam Darnold, and that's pretty easy to do when you've got Justin Jefferson there, to go along with that defense, they got a chance to be a team that can make a playoff run. Green Bay, we watched get hot the second half of the season last year. Jordan Love, when he gets going, can play 9 games of the best quarterback in the NFL if you're not careful, and Jeff Hafley's defense has been a lot more aggressive this year. But I'm going to be honest, the division that intrigues me the most in the NFC is the West, because you do have a team in, you know, San Francisco who's been to the dance a few times, and the core of this roster, when healthy, is still all of that DNA. But then the Los Angeles Rams, man, all of us were bracing for impact as to how bad this thing could crater, and then Cooper Kupp and Puka Nacua both decided to come back on Thursday Night Football and sort of knock our socks off. So as long as Puka doesn't get thrown out for another really weak punch to the face, this is a team offensively that's as good as any in football on their best day with Matthew Stafford, that rushing attack with Kyron Williams and those receivers. And don't look now, hey, the back end of that defense is still a little ways away, but they've been opportunistic, and the front seven are young, incredibly aggressive, and putting a lot of pressure on opposing quarterbacks. So the Rams, once again, look like a really dangerous team in the NFC.
How is Kansas City doing this? Like, I understand they got Pat Mahomes, but they have a worse point differential than the Chargers. They've given up almost 50 more points than the Chargers in the same number of games, yet one team's 8-0. Using, you know, all sorts of misdirection and magic and illusions and spells, and their Chargers are 5-3, and they're pretty good. So just, that's but one way of example. I think they have the 8th best point differential in the sport, and here they are, 8-0.
Because they do really well in situations that make other people blink is probably like the shortest answer I can say. When it gets tight at the end of the game, they're at their best. Like Chris Canty was a guy, Super Bowl champion for the Giants, and I used to do radio with. And he said, can you be at your best when your best is required? And that's an easy thing to say and a really hard thing to do. As someone myself that was a longtime college backup, late blooming starter, back end of the roster, tryout guy in the NFL, man, when you get in the lights are bright right there, a lot of the rest of us normal players, you get nervous, your heart starts beating faster. And the Chiefs just kind of default to the standard that they've set there for themselves for a while. Pat knows, hey, when it gets tough, I can break glass on the Travis Kelce thing and just keep going at him. Hey, the interior of our offensive line, no matter who's in the backfield, is still going to be able to clear out holes. And Steve Spagnuolo on defense always seems to have the right answer for, hey, when a team's driving down in the red zone for a chance at a go-ahead or a big third down late in the game, he's got some designer blitz you haven't seen the entire game. Andy Reid's got a formation that he's saved till overtime that he hasn't run that all of a sudden produces a big gain. Like, they just never really blink or flinch. And when it's time to go out there and win in critical moments, that's the time they're at their best.
Tonight, Thursday Night Football, Mike, we're jacked up for the game. You got the Bengals in Baltimore taking on the Ravens. Cincinnati needs the game more than Baltimore does. The Bengals are 4-5. They're just on the outside of the playoff picture right now. What do you anticipate tonight?
A lot of points. I mean, hopefully we get an absolute carbon copy of what we got in Week 5. If you're a Bengals fan, you obviously hope that doesn't end the same way with the doinked field goal and then losing in overtime to Derrick Henry. But I just think points will be a plenty in this game because the Baltimore secondary, yeah, I know they were also active at the trade deadline, but I don't know what Tre'Davious White affords you in 2024 based off what we saw at the beginning of this season. And so for the rest of that team, they don't get pressure on the quarterback very much, and that secondary has shown, hey, with enough time, you can find holes back there, and Joe Burrow is playing lights-out football on the other side. The difference is the Bengals defense outside of Trey Hendrickson doesn't really do anything overly well, and you're going against maybe the best offense in football. I mean, we talked about it. The stats they're putting up right now in terms of points per game and yardage per game have only been accomplished by the greatest show on turf, 2000 St. Louis Rams, and then the 2013 Denver Broncos that annihilated every record known to man. So I just think this Ravens team, all they're going to need is a little bit of help from a defense that has a core I think can count on more so than what's on the other side for the Bengals on defense. And offensively, Lamar Jackson, the way he's playing right now alongside Derrick Henry, who looks like he found the fountain of youth in Baltimore, I just think that team is too much for most anyone to overcome right now.
Mike, this was awesome, man. Really appreciate the time and insight, buddy. Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
Appreciate it. Great segment. There's Mike Golic Jr. with us on Grant and Danny here on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.